Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart Centered Loving. I'm your host, Jim Brown. You're safe here. No harm will come to you in this space. As always, my goal every week is to bring more love, more happiness, joy, compassion, peace, and abundance into your life. And I ask you every week to listen to this show with the goal of taking one thing out of the show and implementing it into your daily life. And as always, I'll ask you at the end what it was today. And some people have emailed me, tell me that they have more than one thing, which is perfectly fine. Today's show is going to be on the risks and the rewards of being vulnerable. Excuse me. If you want to call in and share your points of view or questions, the number on your screen is 646-595-2831. And in preparing to do today's show, I did research, and the name I came across most often is the expert in this field was, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing her first name right, it's Brené, B-R-E-N, and then an E with an accent over it, Brown. She's from Texas. So I've used several of her quotes, and I'll use her one of her stories to close today. And I did go to TED.com, T-E-D.com, and watch two of her 20-minute programs on vulnerability and shame, and suggest that you would enjoy those. And also, I have her book, and it's called The Gifts of Imperfection. And that's what we're talking about today. The opening quote, which is hers, is, "Owning our story can be hard, but not nearly as difficult as spending our lives running from it. Embracing our vulnerabilities is risky, but not nearly as dangerous as giving up on love and belonging and joy, the experiences that make us the most vulnerable. Only when we are brave enough to explore the darkness will we discover the infinite power of our light." Now, the opening, hopefully humorous story, is short today, and it's to the ladies. It's 5 tips for a woman. Tip number 1, it is important that a man helps you around the house and has a job. Number 2, it is important that a man makes you laugh. Number 3, it is important that you find a man that you can count on and that doesn't lie to you. Number 4, it is important that a man loves you and spoils you. And number 5, it is important that these 4 men don't know each other. I need some more funny stories. You can email me at email them to me at jim@jimbrownspeaker.com. Excuse me. Before I actually start with the show today, I want to talk to a friend of mine, Helga, in London. And I got an email from her this morning saying that her husband, Alan, who's, I love the way she puts it, Helga was born in Germany and lives most of her life in England, and he has a 10-year head start on her. And that he has a combination of dementia and Alzheimer's. And Helga, gosh, you know, it breaks my heart that this is happening. And all I can say is that I will pray for you. I'll send you my love. I'll send you my healing energy. And I will ask the people who are listening to this program to do the same, knowing that together we can get through everything. I don't know how you'll manage. I've dealt with a lot of people who have it, and the suggestion that I have is that you ask Alan if he'll make a videotape for you and your children that says everything he wants to say, so that if a day comes when he doesn't know who you are, you can have that videotape, and you can share that in your heart. I love you, sweetheart, and I look forward to seeing you next month in Southampton. Today's program is devoted to Laura in Michigan. She was the one that asked for this. I asked you to let me know what you want, and Laura emailed me and told me she wants to do a program on vulnerability. So I'm going to do that the same way as if I'm talking to her on the phone and you guys are eavesdropping, because it's a party line. When we first got married and lived in Dubuque, Iowa, we did have a party line, and there were 10 parties on the line, but we only got the ring for two of them. Anyway, let's look at learning how to be vulnerable as if we're looking at a baby learning how to walk, because that's who we are. What does the baby do? The baby falls down and gets up until it learns how to walk. The baby falls on its face, falls on its butt, falls on its side, and never once has anybody ever heard of a baby laying on the floor and saying, I'm a failure. I quit. I'll never learn how to walk. It's the same thing here. You're vulnerable. You got hurt. Don't quit being vulnerable. Get up and keep on trying. Life is way too short to deprive yourself of life's greatest gift, and that is love. We will get hurt when we're vulnerable. Then we've got to learn how to revise the parameters so that we can feel that when we're close to getting burned by being vulnerable, we'll be able to put the fire out before it grows too big. In other words, what we're going to talk about today is setting the parameters or the boundaries and saying, hey, this isn't acceptable. Now, when we were kids, we were told, don't say or do anything that might hurt somebody else's feelings. Well, what did that do? That caused us to stuff our feelings. And I'm going to say right here, right now, stop stuffing your feelings. You must be true to yourself. Doesn't matter that you were told as a little kid not to say or do anything that may hurt somebody else's feelings. Your feelings are the most important feelings in your life. You have the responsibility of taking care of your feelings. You have to be true to yourself. Express your feelings. Be true to yourself. And it's your responsibility to protect your heart and to protect your feelings. Mom and Dad didn't know how to love themselves, so they didn't know how to teach you how to love yourself. So, you know, kids grow up and they're supposed to be prim and proper, and I was taught children would be seen and not heard and all these kinds of things. And they're ingrained in us because what? Because Mom and Dad are our universe, or Mom or Dad or Grandma or, you know, whoever raised you. That's over. Now you got to look out and make yourself number one. And those of you who have the burden of being called mom, in many instances, are the hardest to be able to do that, because you were taught, first is your husband, second is your children, and third is yourself. And I'm saying, no, first is yourself, because you want to come to every relationship with a full tank of gas, fully rested, fully charged, fully believing that you're worthy of all the best that life has to offer. It can't come to you until you say, hey, I'm worthy of it. Virtually all of us have been vulnerable, and we've had our hearts broken because somebody abused that trust. And the pain was so intense that most of us just shut down our heart, and they refused to let anybody get close to us again because we're afraid that if we open our heart again and if we're vulnerable again, we won't be able to stand the pain of having a broken heart again. Now, what happens is this choice causes us to lead our life alone, separate, underline bold, separate, okay, and without an intimate relationship. Now, if you choose to be vulnerable, you run the risk of being hurt and then shutting down and being alone and being isolated. If you don't expose yourself to being vulnerable, you're going to be alone and isolated anyhow. But now you're alone and isolated without any chance of love, joy, or happiness. So in my opinion, there's no downside to being vulnerable. If you choose not to be vulnerable, you separate yourself from everybody. You close yourself down. You live a life of separation. You live a life alone. You live a life of just minimal relationships. If you open up to that, you open up to having the opportunity of having full love, full expression, and knowing that there's someone there with you and for you. And like Helga, she doesn't have to go through this alone. She has her children who live in London, and they're there with her and for her. And no matter what, we want to be able to open ourselves up and share our lives, whether it's the joy or whether it's the fear or whether it's the pain, with people we love. Don't keep them out. And I don't care how old you are. And I don't care how long you've kept them out. Let them back in. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm sorry. There's nothing wrong with being wrong, quote unquote. It's too short. I don't know how many of you have heard of the comedian John Panette. He's hysterical and he's a huge man, and he makes fun of his weight, he makes fun of food and all that. And he died in his hotel room at the age of 50 on Saturday. 50. Boom. Who knows? It's over. How do we know when it's over? And we've talked about this before. If we're sitting here right now, right here, today, and this is the last day of your life, and we're sitting having a conversation, and I'm going to ask you, well, Laura, what are your regrets? And your regrets are going to be not the things you did, but the things you didn't do. How many of you had somebody you loved and that you were estranged with die, and you have these terrible feelings of guilt that you never said this, you never said goodbye, you never said thank you, you never said I'm sorry? Act now, because we don't know how much time we have. And yeah, we run the risk of being hurt when we love, when we're open, when we share our most intimate feelings and thoughts. But don't live alone. We're social beings. And even prisoners who are on death row, who don't behave properly, what do? They put them in solitary confinement. Because we're social beings. So step up, step in, be that social being. Be who you came here to be. We all came here to learn how to love. So let's learn how to love. Is love easy? No, love's not easy. Is love messy? Yes, love is messy. Will you get hurt? Yes, you will get hurt. Will your heart get broken? Yes, your heart will get broken. I'm not going to sit here and make you any promises and say that life is going to be perfect, because it's not. But no matter what we do, there are risks associated with everything. There's risks of separating yourself. There's risks of plunging in. And at the end, you say, hey, I did it all. I loved. Bang. I'm done. I don't have any regrets. So, our challenge now is to learn how to be vulnerable. That is to say, it's to recognize when somebody's taking advantage of you, when you're being open and vulnerable, and stopping them. In other words, we have, and I think this is one of the hardest things for almost all of us to do. Number one is to establish boundaries, and number two is to enforce the boundaries. So before I get into that, once again, the risk of being vulnerable is that you'll have your heart broken. The reward of being vulnerable is you'll have an amazing life filled with love and togetherness. Personally, I don't remember if it was Walt Whitman or who was it, that it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. And as I just mentioned, I believe that's why we're on Earth. We're here to learn how to love. We're here to be vulnerable. And that's the key to learning how to love. So today we're going to talk about how we can recognize when somebody's taking advantage of us and of our being open and loving in nature, and how to set the boundaries. And hopefully this is going to minimize the hurt from exposing yourself. So have the courage to be yourself and only allow people into your life that accept you the way you are. So, ready, set, go. First thing is how to be vulnerable. If you've been vulnerable, gotten hurt, and shut your heart down, then today's program is going to give you the keys to open your heart again, to find love again, to find intimate relationships, true happiness, and inner peace. before that can happen, you must accept yourself just the way you are, imperfections and all. Again, I refer back to Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection. And obviously she talks about perfection as well. She is a PhD in social work and a researcher, so she comes from a very clinical left-brain approach, and crossing the bridge for her was an extraordinarily hard thing to do. So I think you'll enjoy her whether you go to the TED.com programs and Brené Brown or her books. Or just go online and read the stories. I lost my spot here. Opening your heart is never an invitation for somebody to trample all over it. Now, the key phrase here today that I want you to get is all of this is your responsibility. So the key word here, if I have one key word for the whole program, is responsibility. And I don't know how many of you have had management positions, but most people in leadership positions don't know how to delegate. What they do is they abdicate things they don't want to do. Here, you take it, Laura. I don't want to do it. It's yours. Rather than delegating and accepting responsibility that this is a project. This idea of being vulnerable is your responsibility, and you are the only gatekeeper to the door of your heart. So let's take a look back and ask a few questions. When you got your heart broken, did you take the time to see how you contributed to this? What signals were there that you ignored? How did your intuition warn you? How have you changed so that you'll never attract that kind of person into your life again? So we all know life is energy, and life is like a magnet. And the only thing a magnet can attract to it is iron, right? So the only thing you can attract to you is whatever you put out. And in a little bit later, I'm going to talk about how when, you know, it's energy, and when we put that energy out, you can't penetrate me. Nobody will be able to. It's an impenetrable field. So what's the energy that you're putting out that you want to come back to you? Or put it the other way, what do you want to come to you? In order for you to have that come to you, you have to put it out first. I read a quote years ago from a little girl, and it said, if you want a friend, be a friend. If you want intimacy, be intimate. When you decide that you want a romantic relationship and you're willing to run the risk inherent in every romantic relationship, when you begin this relationship, that's the easiest time to define what the boundaries are. And the reason is you haven't gotten an emotional entanglement yet. You don't have, oh my God, if I lose him or her or this or that, you say, hey, wait, here's the rules. It's like I've officiated baseball, basketball, and whatever the baseball, basketball, football. What do? You explain, these are the rules. This is the way it works. Boom. And it's the same thing here. You do that before you get too heavily entangled. So, well, I can't do that. I've never said that. We have all these unwritten rules that go around our head. So if we're going to be vulnerable, we got to be willing to open the door and look. And then if somebody's coming in and it doesn't feel safe, close the door. What's the first thing I say? Every program, you are safe. And when we're talking about your heart, you have to feel safe. And how are you going to know when you're not feeling safe? Is it going to be a feeling in your heart? Is it going to be intuition? How are you going to know? That I don't have the answer. That's one for each one of you, not for me to answer. Okay, so how to be open. You got to take chances. And my suggestion is start by opening up to somebody that you feel safe with. In other words, that this isn't going to be a big risk with. Maybe that's mom. I don't know who it is. This is, you know, when you do that, it's going to increase your comfort level. And the key here is not to go too fast. So this is kind of like learning how to ride a bike. We don't want to be in a hurry to take the training wheels off. There's no hurry to do this. Because we've been hurt before, what do we want to do? We want to be able to feel safe. Okay, if we go too fast, we're not going to feel safe. We've had people who have had accidents or injuries, and they've had to learn how to walk all over again. This is what we're talking about by being vulnerable. You got to learn how to walk all over again. You opened your heart. You didn't know what was going on. Somebody came in. Somebody abused you. Somebody abused the trust. Somebody hurt you. And the pain was so intense, you just shut it and said, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to let anybody in here again because that pain was too intense. That's a horrible mistake. We went into it not knowing how to manage it. In other words, we abdicated. We were vulnerable. We got hurt. Now we're going to go into this with our eyes open, with a conscious awareness of what we're doing and where we're going and how it's going to proceed. Because we're going into this saying, hey, it's my responsibility to take care of myself. It is my responsibility to take care of my heart, to take care of how I open my heart, who I'm vulnerable with, how vulnerable I am, who I open up to, when I open up to, and what do I do when they don't honor this gift that I've given them of opening them, opening myself to them. How do I set those boundaries and how do I enforce them? You're aware of the risks. You're not going into it this time with a blindfold on. And the key, I think, you tell me, is to make sure that you stay in touch with your intuition. Where's your intuition? How do you feel your intuition? How do you ask your intuition? What does your intuition say to you? How does it say it to you? Stay in touch with it. It'll guide you. It's like a compass. It'll tell you where to go. It'll tell you, whoa, stop, 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 stop. And well, every one of us have had that, haven't we? Where we've gotten a message from our intuition, we ignored it. Now, the thing about our intuition is that it doesn't talk very loud, does it? It doesn't talk a long time, does it? It can come and go in a fraction of a second. And we got to be in tune with it and aware and let it guide us. Number three is how to be intimate. Being vulnerable is emotional intimacy. When we're vulnerable or when we're intimate, we share our joys, our fears, our sorrows, our hopes, our dreams, our grief, our likes and our dislikes. Intimacy and feelings go hand in hand. When we're talking about feelings, they are your feelings, okay? In other words, there's no such thing as a right feeling or a wrong feeling. They are your feelings. And it's the same thing when you share intimately. There's no such thing as being right or wrong. These are your beliefs. This is the way you see life. This is what's important to you. So in order for you to be able to open and share, you got to be sure that the other person accepts you just the way you are, without any judgment, even if he or she feels differently about that than you do. But nobody can accept you the way you are until you accept yourself just the way you are. When you're sharing something with him or her, someone intimate, you want to come, what you want from, tell them what you want from them. Okay? I need you to listen. I need you to love me. I need you to be compassionate. I need you, when it was going through Rosemary with her being in the hospital, her being sick, and everybody's going to tell you what, you know, what they what you should do or what they would do if they were you. And I would say to people, I just need to be held. And I was out with Kathy, who I know from Starbucks, and she said, what do you need from me? And I said, hold me. And she got up. We're sitting at a table. She got up. She came across, and she just held me. That's what I needed. And that's what intimacy is about. Don't be afraid. Now, you know, men, we're supposed to be tough. Oh, bullshit. That's something that society told you you're supposed to be. When my dad died, and he lived in Chicago, and my whole family lived in Chicago, we went into Chicago, and he had leukemia, so I wasn't there at the end. And we went to the funeral home, and we had the viewing before anybody else, and I knelt at the casket, and I just bawled my eyes out. Now, I'm the oldest of the four of us, and my brother Tom came up behind me, and he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "It's okay. It's okay." And to me, what I felt like he was saying to me is men don't cry in public, let alone sob uncontrollably in public, and you're making me very uncomfortable. And then same thing happened when Mom passed away. I went up to the casket at the end. This time it was interesting. And I said, "Bye, Mom. I'll see you when I get home." And I walked out of the room and fell apart. And I may have told you before, then the greatest gift that I've ever gotten in my life, I put my hands over my face, and again, I bawled my eyes out. And somebody came there and held me. And she didn't say a word. Not a word. She didn't say it's going to be better or anything. She just held me. And it was Rosemarie. Now, what made it so hard for her is when I lost it, our youngest son, Matt, lost it too. So what does Mom do? Does she hold her husband? Does she hold her son? An amazing gift. But this is what being vulnerable is about. Taking these times that are the most tragic times of our life and having people be there with us and for us. I hope I'm making sense. We don't have any callers, and the one lady is a one lady. How do I know it's a lady in the chat room? She's guest number 1804, whatever that means. They only let you type in the chat room if you sign in or something like that. At any rate, going back to being vulnerable, it means that you have to open the door to your heart gradually. And again, here we go, keyword, it's your responsibility to ensure that the person that you're letting into your heart holds this privilege and gift of entering into your heart with the highest degree of sacredness, honor, and love. So before you open the door, when that man, that woman, that child rings the doorbell and says, "Let me into your heart," you need to ensure that he or she holds this privilege and this gift into the inner you with the highest degree of sacredness, honor, and love. You need to let that person know that when you share, that in no way will it ever be acceptable for him or her to use that against you in an argument or gain leverage over you. Being vulnerable is like trust. You don't meet someone and say, "Okay, I trust you." No, that trust is something that happens gradually, isn't it? So trust is something that we open up to, something that is gained over time. And it's the same thing with being vulnerable. You know who you can be vulnerable with, who you can share things with, and who you don't. Like when, I don't know about you, but when I go to the gym and we just talk about superficial topics, whether it's what the news is or the sports is or what somebody's ache and pain is or whatever it happens to be. But it's 99.9% of the time, it's superficial. This amazing gift is when you're vulnerable is what you're getting. Is you're giving trust. You're learning to trust the person. And when you open up and you're vulnerable, you don't have to bear life's burdens all alone. You're going to grow through being vulnerable. What's going to happen is you're going to gain deeper insights into your life and into yourself and into your higher self. The next thing I want to talk about is, I'm just checking my time here. We're halfway through. I don't know if I'm halfway through or not. It doesn't make a difference. How to communicate your feelings. Now, communicating our feelings isn't something that we're taught how to do, whether we're men or women. Now, one tends to think that women are more open with their feelings, but given the world the way it is today and given the where women are in the business world, women aren't much better at communicating their feelings than us men are. But the bottom line is, if it's my responsibility, then I got to let somebody know, because people are just going to, they're going through, they got their own agenda, they got their own busy schedule, they got other things on their mind, and most of the time, or very seldom, are we ever really focused in on one person fully and together and saying, okay, let me listen to what it is that you're trying to communicate with me. So we got to tell them. Say, hey, you know, this is how your words and actions were received. And say, hey, was this your intention to hurt me? I had this couple we're going on this cruise with in 2.5 weeks. There's a woman that I used to work with at Princess that's no longer Princess, that's now in Fort Lauderdale, that I emailed about getting together, and she hasn't responded back. And then there's a friend we have that we met the last time we went to Paris, want to connect with her, and she has an email back. And his response is, well, are you getting a sudden inferiority complex? Well, no, I wasn't. But then I thought about, you know, that, and I could say something like that. It just comes flying out of your mouth with no sense of how that's going to be received. That's key, that when we're talking, we got to speak with compassion. And we have to know that everyone has feelings. If we live in a world that we're not encouraged to share our feelings or express our feelings or let our feelings be seen, then what's going to happen? As we were taught when we were little kids, you know, don't hurt anybody else's feelings. Therefore, you got to stuff your own feelings. So you're going to stuff your feelings. So you want to tell them, what do I want? This is what I want. You know, they gave you something. You say, well, what I need from you is this. I used to think that I could only speak one language, and it was English. And then I finally figured out that I can speak two languages. I can speak English, and I can translate what Rosemary says into what Rosemary means. And very often, we don't say what we mean. So it's our responsibility as the communicator to say, hey, this is what I mean. This is what I need from you. Can you give it to me? And you need somebody that can say yes or no. And if they say no, that's fine. You got to accept that. If I can't give that to you today, or if that's just not in my bag of tricks, in my bag of gifts, then I can't do it. And you got to be able to let that be. The last show I did was on listening. It was funny because Laura and I, Laura in Michigan, I know her last name, but I just go Laura from Michigan. She must be the only Laura in Michigan. It was ironic because so far there's been about 300 fewer people listening to the show on listening than the last three shows. You know, this listening show had about 175 people listen to it. The last three shows before that had about 475 people on average listening to it. And she said, isn't it ironic that people aren't listening to a show on listening? So we talked about listening last time, and you want to see listening as a gift to the other person. Very seldom do people listen to us, right? They may hear us, and we're constantly looking around, seeing what's going on. There's movement, there's this, there's that. Or we're distracted. Number five, and we're doing good. How to set the boundaries. One key to being vulnerable is overcoming the fear of being hurt. Now, let's assume that you will be hurt. We're going to be hurt because we as human beings say hurtful things, thoughtless things, meaningless things. We all do that. We don't. Sometimes we intend to hurt somebody. Sometimes we do it without intention. Doesn't make any difference if you're the recipient, whether it was intentional or unintentional. I mean, some people say, I didn't mean to do that. Well, that doesn't make it hurt any less, does it? And most of us are not very good at managing our emotions, especially our negative emotions, such as anger, frustration, insecurity, intimidation, manipulation, revenge, hatred. So it's your responsibility to recognize when these behaviors are being manifested by somebody you've opened your heart to and immediately set the boundaries. And take the action to ensure that the boundaries are being enforced. So there's two keys here. Number one, I got to set the boundaries. And number two, I got to take action to ensure that the boundaries are being enforced. Like we talked earlier, from the day we're born, we are seeking to test the limits of boundaries. What's the first thing we do? We cry. We want to see what happens when we cry. We want to try this when we go to school. What are the boundaries? How far can I get when we go to work? What are the boundaries? What can I get away with? I worked with a woman years ago. Break was 15 minutes. She took 20. Nobody said anything. She took 25. Nobody said anything. She took 30-minute breaks. She's testing the boundaries. So how many people go through yellow lights? How many people go through stop signs? How many people go over the speed limit? How many people test the boundaries? So it's perfectly reasonable to, when you set the boundaries, to make the assumption that the other person is going to see if they're real. So it's hard to set the boundaries, but once you've set them, you got to enforce them. And in officiating, what I learned is all they want to know is that you're consistent. You're calling it tight, they'll accept it if you're calling it tight both ways. You set the boundaries, you enforce the boundaries, and that's it. So expect that the other person is going to test you to see if you're going to enforce the boundaries. Excuse me. They're going to test you to see if you are going to enforce your boundaries. I'm going to ask you, never let the fear of loss to cause you to cave in. Loss of a marriage, loss of a relationship, loss of money, loss of child custody, whatever it is. How many times have I said, be true to yourself? Again, if today is the last day of our life, it's really important to say, hey, I was true to myself. Okay? People aren't going to like things you do, no matter what you do, no matter what you say. People are going to think whatever they want to think about you. They're going to say whatever they want to say about you. And that's the way it's going to be. So the bottom line is, then you got to be true to yourself, because you, at the end of the day, are the only one that gets to live with yourself. So don't ever let that fear of loss allow somebody to break your heart or abuse you. Again, it's your job to make your emotional well-being your number one responsibility. Now, those are the five things that I wanted to talk about. I've got more I want to talk about, but just to go over them quickly, they were how to be vulnerable, how to be open, how to be intimate, how to communicate your feelings, and how to set boundaries. Now let's talk about some, I'm going to just call them keywords. It doesn't make any difference what they're called. Intuition. Now again, women are thought to have a better touch with their intuition. Doesn't make any difference. We're not in a contest. We all have intuition. We all have to learn how to access it more often, and that's like anything else. It takes practice. You feel it. So use your intuition as your guide to tell you when you're not safe. Whether it's in a neighborhood, whether it's going into a restaurant, whether it's with another person, doesn't make any difference. And my question to you is, when you feel your intuition, where in your body do you feel it? How do you feel it? It's your intuition. It's a tool you have. Use the tool. Don't be afraid to use the tool. For a man, they say, there was my gut instinct, my gut feeling, or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't make any difference what it's called. Just like more people have been killed in the name of God than any other reason in all of human history. It doesn't matter what it's called, whether it's called the supreme being, whether it's called the universe, whether it's called spirit, whether it's, you know, called energy, whether it's called God, whether it's called... It doesn't matter. Okay? It's a gift you have. You have that to use. You get to choose whether you're going to use it or not. If you use your intuition, it's going to allow you to lead a fuller, happier life, because it's going to be like a road guide. It's going to tell you, don't go down this road. Boom. Worthiness is the next thing I want to mention. You are worthy of being loved. You got to decide that. I don't care what's happened your entire life. That's past. That's gone. You got to decide right here, right now, I am worthy of being loved. You deserve intimate relationships. And even when people are loved, how often do they say, oh my God, I don't deserve to be loved this deeply. And in the closing story, we'll get into that. Connection is why we are here on Earth. Okay? We're here to connect with each other. And my belief is really that we're all one, so there's we're connected. And then some people say, well, what do you mean we're all one? There's 7 billion of us. And the only analogy I've ever been able to come up with that maybe you can relate to is that if I'm a cell in the eye of a human body, and I'm trying to describe to you the beauty of this baby, the beauty of a sunrise, the beautiful rainfall, or a rainbow, or a beautiful woman, or a beautiful flower, and you are a cell in the liver who's only trying to get poison out of the body, it's going to be real hard for you to accept my statement that we are one. We are one body. We're different cells in the same body. And maybe you can get that and see that we're together. So we're here to connect with each other, to stay connected. Don't disconnect yourself from life. Don't disconnect yourself from people. Now, sugarcoating's over. Life is messy. Okay? If you open up again and you're vulnerable, it's messy. You will get your hands dirty. Keep your soap, whatever that little stuff is that we have in the jar, to wash your hands, get the dirt off your hands. But stay connected. Stay connected with yourself. Stay connected with your heart. Stay connected with your intuition. And be open, be vulnerable, and allow yourself to express and experience the fullness of life. This is something that's just come to me in the last, I'm going to say 2 years, maybe it's 3 years, but I don't know. And that's compassion. And life is totally different when you look and you open yourself and you're compassionate to people instead of just, well, try this, try that, do this, do that. They're going through what they're going through. And you, by listening and paying attention, have some sense of what it is for them. And just share and be compassionate with people. We all feel like we're all alone. We want to be compassionate with ourselves. We want to be compassionate with others. And let's accept, very simply, that we're all in some kind of pain. Next one is courage. Now, vulnerability sometimes is described as being weak. Vulnerability in reality is courage. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable. So don't ever think that you're weak by being vulnerable. You have tremendous courage. And in this courage, we all have a story. I'm going to ask you simply to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. Embrace who you are. I don't know why this pops into my head, but I jokingly say to people, I am in the Guinness World Book of Records. I went on academic probation my first semester freshman year in college. I got off 20 minutes after graduation. I went around to every teacher to find out what my grades were because it was Loras College in Dubuque, Iowa, and we lived in Chicago, and both families came out. We'd just gotten married and then went back to school for the final year. And Rosemary was 7 or 8 months pregnant. I don't know when I graduated, May or June. Mike was born in July. And I went to the Dean of Men, and he gave me my diploma. A year later, I got into Loyola University Graduate School of Business on academic probation. I had to get 2 B's. I got a B and an F. I assumed that they were going to kick me out of school, and they never did. So technically, I went through all of graduate school on academic probation. So I had 7 out of 8 semesters in college on academic probation and all of graduate school on academic probation. You can't be on academic probation any longer. Does that make me any less of a person? No. I used to think people with an education were smart until I got one. What makes you vulnerable is what makes you beautiful. Okay? Look in the mirror and see that beauty. Admire that beauty. And if you question the beauty, then take your clothes off and stand in front of that mirror and look through your eyes and look into your heart and say, I love you. You're beautiful. Until you can believe it. Love with your whole heart. That's all life is about. Holding grudges, being angry, judging, criticizing, condemning. Those are heavy, heavy burdens that you don't have to carry one more minute. Practice gratitude and joy. Practice it. Be grateful. What are you grateful for? 2 weeks ago today, I had surgery on my nose to correct a severely deviated septum. I'm really grateful that I can breathe again. Really, really nice. I can breathe through my nose. How many of you even thought about that? You look at what goes on in some of these other countries throughout the world, and you look at what we have. I'm sorry, I don't even know. This could be somebody in one of those countries hearing it. You have to believe that you are enough right here, right now, just the way you are. You got to believe that. You know, again, I go back to the book that Brené Brown wrote called The Gifts of Imperfection. And the subtitle is Let Go of Who You Think You're Supposed to Be and Embrace Who You Are. Okay, we got to look. Every one of us has a dark side. Every one of us. You guys say, that's enough. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I'm growing. I'm moving. It's a piece of artwork in progress. One more time, vulnerability is not weakness. It's courage. And lastly, before we get to the closing story, it looks like I'm a little bit early today, vulnerability is an emotional risk and uncertainty. Vulnerability is our most accurate measure of courage. Vulnerability is the birthplace of creativity, change, and innovation. Ta-da-ta-da-ta-da. I'm about 5 minutes early, so we'll go into the closing story, and then we can end earlier. I can go to commercials. Actually, I don't have any commercials, but you know. It's just fun. Before I go into the closing story, you know, let me just... This was a challenge for me to put together, and I ran into things I didn't even think about. And with Laura, when you asked me to do it on vulnerability, I assumed we were talking about being vulnerable in a romantic relationship. But there's vulnerability with our parents, with our bosses, with our children. And there has to be, we have to be able to move beyond a certain level, a certain surface level of life. And death is part of life. We get to the part where Helga's saying, hey, you know, we're coming to the end of the line here. And this is hard. And I don't know how long Helga and Ellen have been married, but we'll be married 47 years, so I'm going to say they're married probably about 55 years, maybe longer. That doesn't make a damn bit of difference. It really doesn't. It doesn't make the journey any easier. And I've talked to people and seen people, I don't know what your observation is, but I've seen people who have had a loved one have a prolonged sickness, and when he or she dies, they're just as shocked as if they had gotten killed in an automobile accident or died in their sleep. So the end is the end. And we all know there will be an end. So the key isn't one key is to get over the fear of death. And in reality, in my belief system, there is no death. We just move on to a new thing. It's like changing our clothes. We go into another suit of clothes. And we get rid of this thing that we call the body. But who we are stays the same. So we move on, and we have to confront that fear. And the deal is we got to be able to enjoy everything in life. Whatever we have, we're here to make the best of it. And we're here to take care of each other. We're here to help each other. We're here to heal our pain. And we're here to help each other heal each other's pain. We are not here to be alone. If we were here to be alone, there'd only be one person. There wouldn't be 7 billion of us. So let's stop acting like we're here to be alone. Let's take care of each other. Let's stop hurting each other. Let's start healing each other. Let's start expressing the fullness of who you are to the people who mean the most to you in your life. Start with the easiest person. Don't start with the hardest person. Tell them what you think of them. Tell them what you feel about them. How many of you have a hard time accepting a compliment? When somebody compliments you, just say, thank you. I really appreciate it. You look great tonight. That's a beautiful dress. Your hair looks wonderful. Whatever it is. That's an amazing job you did on that project. Thank you. I appreciate that. Closing story. Like most things, I don't think that it is a black or white or either or issue. There are a million different kinds and shades of vulnerability. Certainly, there is the risk of pain, embarrassment, disappointment, and heartbreak. But maybe our aversion to vulnerability is sometimes really the result of a fear of intense and consuming love, of deep and abiding respect, of unconditional acceptance and mercy, of grace and kindness. Interesting thought, isn't it? Let's face it, we get used to the darkness and the hiding. In an odd way, it's comfortable in there. We get used to struggling alone with a stoic independence. We get used to maintaining a safe distance. As scary and terrifying as being vulnerable is, it can be far scarier and more terrifying to think about what may happen if we really show up, if we really connect, if we really hold ourselves open to the possibility of goodness or greatness. We are all a little broken. We are all a little bruised. We are all a little scarred. And there's an amazing beauty and powerful connection that lies in our shared imperfection. Maybe that's what scares us most of all. Because it's messy and complicated and unfamiliar. Because it might be more goodness than we can handle. It goes back to our little comment about compliments. Or worthiness, or deserving. But maybe there's a time when the fear just doesn't seem worth it anymore. When authenticity and the vulnerability that comes along with that seems just a little bit easier. When the possibility of true connection doesn't seem quite as intimidating or overwhelming anymore. I suppose there comes a time when we have to say what needs to be said, or have to do what needs to be done, or we have to tell the story that needs to be told. If, for no other reason, it might cast out a silver, tiny silver sliver of light to help somebody else out of the dark. Shine your light, your flashlight. Hold your candle. So here for public consumption and potential judgment and criticism, because even in silence, judgment and criticism can be heard, are my clumsy words, my disorganized thoughts, my flawed story, my vulnerabilities. Here they are because this is what I can say. This is what I can do. This is a story to be told. Here they are because vulnerability and connection don't ask for perfection. They only ask that we show up. Here they are because I can only hope for and pray that they contain some tiny sliver of light. Now the closing quote, which is by Brené Brown, is, "We cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love is not something we give or get. It is something that we nurture and grow, a connection that can only be cultivated between two people when it exists within each one of them. We can only love others as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and withholding of affection damages the roots from which love grows. Love can only survive these injuries if they are acknowledged, healed, and rare." Well, we've made it to the end. And my question, as always, is what did you get out of today's show? Is there one thing that you can identify? I'm going to do a program in 2 weeks, and that one's going to be on patience. Now, I already have my PhD in patience. I'm doing postdoctoral work, and I don't know about you, but I want patience, and I want it right now. I don't do well with patience, whether it's driving, whether it's stupid people, whether it's, I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Now, I've talked to you about Mary Dale, who's a yoga teacher, or has been one of my yoga teachers, and her assistant contacted me, asking if she could do the shows while I'm gone, and I said, sure, and I haven't heard back, so I don't know what will happen. We leave 2 weeks from Saturday, which is the 26th of April. We come back on the 22nd of May. So if I don't hear from Mary Dale, what I'll do is I'll post shows, which they call podcasts, and I'll take the ones that are most popular. And the most popular one in the 14 or 15 months I've been doing this is the one that we did last year on Mother's Day. So I will do that again. So that's what the plans are. And that's what's going on, and we will close this, as always, by me sending love from my heart to your heart. I'm going to ask you, receive this love, open your heart, let this love in, and share it with those around you. Not only is there an infinite supply of love, but we all need to be loved more. Nobody's ever died from an overdose of love. Love yourself. When you go in there to open your heart, look in and you'll see that little boy, that little girl that wasn't loved enough. Love him, nurture him, heal him, and enjoy the rest of your life. Be open, be vulnerable, you are safe. I love you, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.